people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and in about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with Freeways, with People, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
The California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605.
Welcome to Los Angeles Nista, episode 125. I am the show creator, producer, and host, Eddie Solis, and today is a downtown Los Angeles episode. The destination I'm going to be highlighting is a destination called the downtown playground. And my in-studio guest, Josh Walker. What's up, man?
What up, Eddie?
How are you?
Dude, we're doing so well.
All right. And Ricardo.
Great to see you again, buddy.
Great to see you. Ricardo, what's your last name?
Garcia.
Garcia. You know, I know you as Ricardo, the fabulous artist.
Thanks, man.
You know? So, I wanted to do another Downtown LA episode. And I said, you know, Downtown Playground, it's new. It's exciting. It's relevant. It's fresh. Yes. Off of Lemeth and Alameda.
Nice.
Right?
14th
and Alameda.
But I mean, it's all pretty close.
Yeah. Which is also nice. We'll name check the address and all that after. Cool. Let's talk about, Josh, why don't you tell me how it became to be and how it got visualized and how it ended up being materialized?
Awesome. So believe it or not, the playground existed before I came into the picture. And so I'm going to tag team this with Ricardo. But I met Ricardo, year and a half or so. So I was living in Long Beach, and kind of since I was a kid, I've wanted to live in like a creative space, like that cool brick warehouse thing that we'd all seen artists have and whatnot, but seemed like not so attainable. So I moved from Long Beach to downtown LA. There was this old building that was purchased up by this company, and they were renovating it slowly. But to counter the cost of renovating, they were renting it out to people, artists. And so it was still really grungy. And this was at 15th and Alameda, essentially, by that big metal recycling plant.
Yep.
Anyway, so I got in there. Rent was really cheap, which was cool. And right away, I met 2, 3, 4 other people that were in there, artists, doing the same thing. The funny part about it is that it's not zoned as a residential area.
Right.
And so we were all kind of flying under the radar, and the way we explained it, we were like, you know, we work crazy hours, you know, like, you know, who's to say we're like not working at 4 a.m. when
sure.
really we're like crashing. But anyway, so moved in there and immediately met Ricardo and then a couple of other cats that go by the name of Unincorporated Life. And just right away, solid people. You know those type of people, like yourselves.
Like we met.
That you meet and you're just like, you feel like you've been friends your whole life.
Absolutely.
And so they took me under their wing right away. Ricardo's doing art. He's got this gorgeous space on the bottom floor that was huge. And he was throwing parties, man. And it was all about getting art on the wall and getting people there.
Awesome.
And so I'll let Ricardo kind of tell you about how he came to do that, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah, just like what Josh mentioned. I mean, it was an incredible synergy once we kind of met. And this building, this crazy building with this crazy landlord, his name is Hasid. I figure I need to drop the dime on his ass. Just the fact that he put us in a horrible situation. But more than anything, in the positive note, it was just an incredible synergy full of creative people. And we were just basically feeding off each other on, you know, on just everything from our parties to events to fashion shows, you name it. And I guess...
And supporting each other, I think, was the big thing.
That's important.
We had a family there, and it was really cool because you live down the hall from these people, and so at any hour you just go knock on the door. What's going on? You pop in, and they're painting. Or Unincorporated Life was always sewing and making stickers with their die cut machine, and so it was like this this summer camp that, like, you know, nobody ever wants to leave summer camp. So why not create one that you can live in? And so. We actually coined that spot the brick because it was this big brick block, if you will.
I love that.
And things were going well. I, at that time, was focusing on a publication with a friend of mine, Chelsea. We called it the Fresh Press. And so we actually popped open an office and we were working on that. And I guess where this is going is I was over at the office one day and I get a call from my buddy Shane, who's in Unincorporated Life. And he was actually up in Colorado working on a project. And he calls me and he's like, hey, man, I just got some news that there was a big bust at the brick. Like, you got to get down there. And so I fly over there. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I hadn't been there all day. The police are there.
Right. Yellow tape.
Everything. LAPD, yellow tape. And so finally they cut the tape and they let everyone in. And there were probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 people outside really concerned, weren't allowed in all day. I go upstairs and my door has been busted open with one of the ram things.
Whoa.
And my whole place is trashed. Yeah. And so
by the LAPD,
every room,
LA's finest there.
Every room busted in, completely trashed, looking for drugs. And so what had happened was there was a big grow op going on upstairs. And, you know, we would smell some weed, But, like, we had no idea the scale. So, like, these guys were really pro. Right. And I guess to keep it short, it was massive. And so the moral of this is that we all essentially got booted out. They cut the power to the building. And here, you know, all these legit artists who are, like, trying to do good things in the city, literally, like, left homeless. Management doesn't pick up the phone. No sorry from LAPD. Nothing. We're just, like, stranded. And our apartment is trash to boot. And so, you know, we're kind of just like stunned and everyone's like scattering to try to find like places to put their stuff. So, I mean, our doors wouldn't even lock. And so everyone kind of found their own things and we reached out to friends to help, you know, until we could find a new place. And shoot, a year and a half ago, somewhere around there, this happened. And I guess since then, we've all kind of like found our own little new homes in LA and these new pockets. And about a month and a half now ago, I saw on Facebook that Ricardo had found this new place, which is now the Downtown Playground, but this gorgeous 3,000 square foot space that he got a killer rent on for what it is. And you've seen how beautiful it is.
Great.
And so I saw it on Facebook and I hadn't really heard from him for a while. You know, we were all kind of connected, but not like we were before. And so I was like, man, I got to come see the spot. And I was actually living on a boat in Marina del Rey, which was kind of fun, you know? And so I came down and I was just like freaking out, man. I was getting the chills and like just looking up at the walls and seeing the potential that this place had. And so I got to throw mad props to Ricardo for taking the leap and getting this space. I mean, you know, getting a big space like that, rent first and last is always fun pulling together and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And so, man, he took the leap and he knew like what he needed to do like for this community and for this cause. And so, you know, the people that we used to be with in the Brick were slowly kind of pulling them back together. And so now I'm doing this with Ricardo, or pardon me, he's accepted to have me on as his partner in this thing. And so the old space that he had was called Cinco's Playground.
Sure.
And maybe you could speak to like why you call it the playground.
No, absolutely. And it's amazing being having Josh, you know, being part of all this. The playground is basically just a concept that I created. Just I want people to come into an environment where they just kind of put all their worries, their issues that they have away, you know. And this is like once you enter, say, my realm, my sanctuary, I want you to just celebrate your life, you know, be creative, don't worry about things. This is almost like the Lost Boys from Peter Pan kind of thing.
Be in the moment.
Absolutely. Being in the moment.
And that's Buddhism. That's yoga.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's love.
That's love.
And loving yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a good point you brought out. It's really everything. I mean, from physical to spiritual to mentally.
Emotional.
Emotional. And what we forgot to be is being a human being, being a person.
Absolutely.
Know? And it's interesting that Josh and I, we were talking about even just how community these days, it's really more of a online kind of communication, so to speak, where the playground brings you together. We communicate as what we were intended to do, you know?
Who would ever think that, you know, technology is fantastic. We use it, especially if you're doing business and creating projects and have passion projects, you get your message out. But who would ever think that face-to-face
absolutely
conversations would be like go into obscurity?
So weird,
isn't it
weird?
It's isn't it true, though?
Scary, man. Right. Scary.
It is true, though.
I was talking to Ricardo before we came about my pops. And like after school, he would tell me that like him and his buddies, everyone had their muscle cars and they would like, there was this one park that they would go to. And even like on a Sunday evening or like, even if it wasn't after school, you drove by the park to see who was there and see what was going on. And so I think that we're losing that because of Facebook and all of this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just verbal skills and
communication
those,
skills.
Yeah.
People skills.
And you wonder like, what's going to happen if the kids don't grow up with that? Because really, I think we're kind of, all of us, the first generation to grow up with the internet.
Yeah.
And so we know both worlds, without internet and with it. Pardon me, let me back up. We didn't necessarily completely grow up with the internet. I believe I was in like second or third grade when it came about. But it was still young and it wasn't everything like it is now. And so I think we were the last generation to grow up with analog and digital, if you will. And so this new group coming up, it's interesting, you know. Not having that. And absolutely. So, you know, so I guess that means keeping it alive for us.
Yeah. So in a way, I mean, you know, the Downtown Playground, you know, it's a hub for people to go interact and connect
Exactly.
And you know, you could sharpen your communication skills.
Yeah,
there.
All of it. Yeah.
The lost art of communication and conversation.
Totally. Absolutely.
And, you know, I believe that, as technology grows, people who are consumed by it and use it for unproductivity will see their demise in intelligence.
Yeah.
And I think that, and not to sound like a, you know, like, I don't want it to sound like a snide remark, but I mean, if you are someone who has a lot going on and you are using it, then it's great. Because if you have so much going on, you're still doing this kind of thing and you're just sending your message through this.
It's a tool. And it's a life, everything, there needs to be a balance, you know?
Right.
And I think that it's easy to get lost in the internet because it's fun and it's quick and it's easy and all of these things, you know?
And it is great if you're you know, involved in a lot.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a tool for those.
But then I get worried about those adults I see.
Right.
Playing games all day.
Right. Yeah.
And eating junk food. It's like, dude, what's going on here? Like, that's creepy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all at parties, you know, where you see all these people looking down at their phones, man, and that's scary.
That's
and
where so we're going.
We really want to, you know, do what we can to push against that and fight back. And I mean, you know, the car thing, it can be brought up here too, man. So huge, you know.
Yeah.
Just really pushing back against some of these things that we see as becoming a problem for us.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think just right off the bat, Downtown Playground, to me, it's like you guys are filling a void in downtown.
Thank you, guys.
I go to a lot of places, for all the major venues, all the underground places. And what resonated with me was the fact that, you know, you could see a band there, look at art on the wall, and have enough wiggle room to kind of like do whatever you want within reason.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and have this very like, I felt like I was in someone's living room without a roof.
Right.
Thanks, man.
That's my description. Damn. Very homely, very warm. That led to, you know, being excited, being comfortable and staying there for the night, you know?
Damn,
really cool. I mean, come on. I mean, we've all gone to a lot of places. You know, some places are a little too sterile, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, they're supposed to be a cool place of community, but they kind of lack the truth.
Right. Something,
you know? Now, you guys had a soft opening?
We did, So you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Yes. Well, basically, I guess just going a little bit back, what you mentioned, the Downtown Playground is that. And we try to also get people involved in the creative process. We're trying to kind of get them involved that they're also artists as well, that only because they can paint, draw, or play music. They could also be kind of like, I'm not sure if you saw that big Jenga that we have there.
Sure.
And just that interactive kind of process of exploring your creativity. We're trying to encourage that as much as we can. And that's really what we're trying to also do more.
Can I piggyback off that and say that it's so interesting watching kids as we get older. Right. And the crazy things, you know, we say crazy, but the things that they do, just that innocence and that purity and that like a thought comes into their head and they do it and they act on it. Now we get older, we have to put some kind of filter on that.
Sure.
But keeping that alive and, you know, when you want to draw or scribble, draw and scribble and do it. And I think that in growing up, and I'm only 26, but in the years that I've spent and kind of analyzing the like social like confines that get put onto us and the filters that come in front of our eyes. I think that it's a lot of work to fight against those things because they're so powerful, whether it's the media and whatnot. I mean, a long time ago, I decided I didn't want to have a TV and, you know,
that's amazing.
Every now and then I'll throw on a show and stuff. But like in general, man, just there's, you know, one life that we have to live and to spend that much time, you know, someone feeding you like all this stuff that seems pretty hollow.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the fact that that's your ideal and you're involved in the Downtown Playground, like I just knew when I was there, like, you know, these guys, without even knowing you guys much, I just connected with you guys. I knew that there was, between both of you, there was, this place was going to reflect what you guys wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And that went on to be a platform of creativity, hospitality, a warmth that loomed over it that's like very kind of like un-LA, you know, that very warm feeling.
Yeah.
And I also think that you guys were definitely unconventional, like intuitively, in a non-reckless way, in a very intellectual way. And that's what, like, it kind of resonated through the venue. I was like, this is very cool. I like it. I get it. The fact that you don't have a TV or chose not to have one, you know, I mean, that says a lot about someone. The scary thing is when you talk about the masses and people who don't share our ideals.
Absolutely.
People have so much faith in television. It's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in it more than they believe in themselves.
Oh, yeah. Which is wild.
You know what I mean? And to me, that is creepy.
Exactly. And what we're doing is believe in yourself. Listen to that voice. Act on your voice.
Right.
Instead of taking in these millions of other voices coming at you.
Right.
Come back home.
Yeah, trust yourself.
And the word playground, I mean, think about the playground. And that's why I brought the kid thing up. Is that... that innocence in listening to yourself and those thoughts inside of you and acting upon them. The word playground to us is that. That's where, as a kid, where you went to do that and be that and meet new people and bump into someone and, you know, whatever it may be in the playground.
I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, here's just another analogy of where society has gone. When someone wants to discuss an issue, whether it's good or bad, there's a text that comes through.
Of course.
Like, oh, well, you know, I'm not too happy about this. Or, or oh, thank you so much. But whatever happened to the art of walking up to someone saying, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, or even a phone call.
Yeah.
Which is so much is text now. And I mean, words are great, but we're not always all perfect with our words. And things can be miscommunicated so easily.
Found text. Easily.
And so a phone call and the intonation of voice, I think, is massive.
It's true. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's true. Let's talk about what the downtown playground is set up for. I mean, I've seen a band there.
Yep.
Right? You guys could host bands, live shows in the room.
Absolutely. Which we actually just posted our next show, no pun intended, with Post. This is a brainchild of Ricardo. I'll just touch on it and then let him go into it. But in short, we're going to have 20-plus artists on the wall. And this is anywhere from amazing artists that have really refined their practice to younger, more amateur artists. And the idea is, you know those flyers at around town?
Yeah.
That, you know, you leave the club artists. And they're all over your car. Hate that.
There's like 18 on one windshield.
It's ridiculous,
man. You come out of like the Palladium and there's like 18 flyers.
Right.
It's crazy.
And you gotta like put on your windshield wipers just to get all of them.
Well, and then everyone does that and they're all over the ground and it's a wreck. And actually Eduardo Castillo of Pattern Bar just did this big write-up on how annoying that is and how people need to stop doing that. It's a waste in so many ways. They're missing their target audience, et cetera, with these tools like internet that we could use.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to these postcards, Ricardo had this idea that you go and you collect those, right? However many you'd like, same size, maybe not same size. And then you repurpose them, whether you're a painter or you're a photographer, and you do your thing with them, however many you want. Personally, I'm going to do 20 and hang them on the wall. And we're going to have a show that's all about that and you and getting your friends out to come and hang out and meet this artist's friends and just really get the good people together. And so maybe you want to talk a little bit more about...
No, thank you. Yes. As a matter of fact, it's incredible that I started just thinking about this idea of, like, first of all, we're recycling, you know, just all this.
So that's
away.
A positive message, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And the great thing is that a lot of these artists, and including myself, you know, you go to these shows that we have throughout the city, and basically you do all this effort to obviously make a painting and take it there and hang it. And in the end of the night, sometimes you don't sell, or you're lucky, you know, if you're going to sell.
That's very, the lineage is similar to being in a band, the components,
absolutely.
The steps to get that final product on the shelf.
Absolutely.
And then you're like, okay, well, it's on the shelf worldwide, but
exactly.
How many records sold?
Exactly. And so me as an artist, I started thinking, well, it's time to kind of give a little bit of respect to these artists for their hard work and their efforts that just to even make it to our place and to hang it. And I know how difficult it is.
Because you know how much work goes into that.
Absolutely, you know, and challenging. And it's not like they're making money here. So I thought, wouldn't it be great that I could just... we could just show that appreciation for an artist to do these postcards that they could paint something. And, you know, yes, they're probably going to sell them for really, you know, not too expensive. But the great thing is that at the end of the night, we're hoping that they would at least have a nice money for a nice dinner or something, you know, at least just a token of our appreciation, so to speak. And hopefully at the end of the night, they could sell that expensive piece. But at least we're trying hard to put some money into these artists. Wallets, so to speak.
That's really cool. So it's good intention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk about your art, Ricardo.
Yes.
I was familiarizing myself with your art right before I went. How long have you been an artist?
Professionally about 13 years.
Yeah. And tell me this. When did you commit to doing it professionally?
Actually, I never did. I tried quitting all the time.
I try to pull away, but it keeps pulling you.
It just keeps on pulling.
You gotta love that.
Yeah. It was interesting because I was born and raised here in Los Angeles.
And, oh, likewise.
Awesome. Well, very rare to meet someone like that.
Very rare.
Yeah. Ended up moving to Texas. Started doing some stuff there. Same for Miami. But I guess to make a long story short, every time I tried to quit, I would sell a piece at a gallery or something. And it was just one of those things.
One of those signs like, don't quit.
Don't quit. Yeah. And until I just made, you know, I guess I didn't have a choice, so to speak. That I just kind of went fully on this thing that we call being an artist, so to speak.
You know? Sure.
But since then, I've been very grateful and very blessed and really excited just to... I just realized, you know, a few years... It's interesting how almost destiny has kind of a way of guiding you, so to speak, you know. That now, I mean, art to me is everything. The creative process. There's nothing else that I get amused, really, from this amazing temporal world just as much as I do to create, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think, God, I mean, you know, I do music. I think I've recorded 6 records and I've toured a lot. Personally, you know, that's my artistic output. When I, and the show, because I try to get creative with episodes, but what I notice, what I like is the process of work.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't go back and really listen to my music. Like, that's it.
On to the next.
I like the process of like writing, rehearsing, demoing, all the steps.
Right.
Just dodging, and then like making it happen. You know,
no, absolutely.
That's the fun. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you
could
probably. Fulfilling. Yeah, yeah. I mean, very, there's a lot of lineage with art, right?
Absolutely.
Same thing with publishing, maybe. Like, the steps it takes to put that publication together, and then all of a sudden, here it is, but you're not going to like really just go over it and over the final product, you're on to the next thing.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Because it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. It was fun putting that together, and we had never done that, too. I mean, my partner, Chelsea, she wrote for the LA Times for a bit. So I kind of did more the design layout and the photography, and then she was a killer writer with these interviews. But, yeah, we had never put together a little magazine-type publication, so that was kind of a trip.
No, and it's amazing, that whole creative process, you know. I mean, it's... And we all have that, which is amazing, you know, just to, like you said, with your writing music, composing. I guess we're a composer, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, sure.
I'm a composer with my paintbrush as well, you know. Mm-hmm.
As far as doing it professionally for 13 years, so give us a website where we can see your art.
Absolutely. It's GarciaRicardo.com. And okay. By the way, I know I should, I'm also throwing out that I also have another website, my partner, Matt.
Yeah.
And myself, we started this organization called WishRise, wishrise.com. It's basically where a platform where Make-A-Wish Foundation meets Kickstarter, so to speak. We're definitely, you know, trying to help out these people with terminally ill illnesses and try to make their wishes come true, kind of thing.
That's so admirable. Words can't even explain that, you know.
It's actually not to get too off track on it, but it's just so important, so I'm glad you mentioned it. I just heard the story this morning of how it came about. A good buddy of theirs at a very young age contracted this cancer and passed far too soon. And so kind of in celebrating his life, they were like, what can we do to, you know, to make this a positive thing and special? And I guess that he had a wish to go see some family overseas, and I don't know if he was or wasn't able to do it.
Wasn't.
He wasn't able to because of financial reasons.
That probably broke your heart to think
about
it.
And it's just like, man, this is last wish. And Make-A-Wish is for kids, but this is for all ages. And
absolutely.
So you go on, it looks just like Kickstarter. You right. post your wish, and then people can hop on and fund. And so really
support.
A tool for them to be able to, you know, raise that money.
That's killer.
Touching to me. I mean, it's you know, totally selfless to put that up and spend that time.
You know, the downtown playground, you could get there pretty cool and calm, car free, because that's why I went that night. I ran a house in Boyle Heights, and I was just moseyed on down my porch, waited for the line 18, went over the bridge, and is literally hop, skipped, and jumped down at Alameda. They got a nice 10-minute walk.
Right.
Took in the sun rays and, the scenery, and I just walked there 10 minutes.
not enough walking going on in the city, that's for sure.
And people can get there from all directions, even without a car, so they could go there and drink and not drive, so they could be responsible, which is key. I believe in work hard, play hard.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so if you want to go there and have some drinks and hang out and party with friends, do it, man.
Absolutely.
I don't want you getting into a car and getting hurt or hurting someone else, because that sucks for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so from hands-on experience, being car-free, it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, it was like a 10-minute bus drive and a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And how cool nowadays that you have these ride-sharing services like Lyft and Uber, you know. I mean, obviously, the least cars that are on the, or the less cars on the road, the better. But with these guys, if you're in a bind, you know, whether you've been drinking or you just don't have a car, whatever it is, and you need to make that call, and you're putting money in your buddy's pocket, which is so cool.
Yeah, it's a support system.
Absolutely.
You know, and I believe in that, especially when it's independent business.
Absolutely.
You know, I always use the analogy of, like, you know, when I get hooked up for a show, like, you know, through this radio show, you know, we get invited to a lot of places.
Yeah, it must be cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be like, yeah, you know, put me on the list to see Metallica.
Yeah.
Right. No problem. But, you know, the local artist, I want to pay at the door because I understand how that works.
So huge, man.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a support system more than
ever. Absolutely, everyone's got to pay that rent, you know?
Exactly,
it's
dude.
It's like, man, if we would love to never charge for our parties, but we keep them super low. And
And that can work if you got, like, sponsors from big companies.
Of course, you know, which we're definitely seeking out. So any sponsors out there.
Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a music break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your favorite places in L.A., and I'm going to tell everyone how to get there without a car.
That's car incredible.
All right, here we go. Hi, this is Eddie Solis. You're listening to Los Angeles Nista on SkidRowStudios.com. This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily.
Yeah. yourself.
All right. Welcome back to the 125th episode of Los Angeles Nista. My in-studio guests, Ricardo and Josh from the Downtown Playground. How are you guys holding up?
Hello.
Great.
Doing well.
I got to ask each of you.
Sure.
Okay, before we go here, we'll start with Ricardo. What's your favorite place for Mexican food?
Oh, geez. There's a lot, man.
Can you say one?
Yeah. I like Burrito King. I don't know why. I just dig that burrito right there on Sunset and Alvarado.
Sunset and Alvarado.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? All the car-free people could visit that place from downtown. They could take the line 2.
Is it the line 2?
In front of Rite Aid on 5th and Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Straight shot to Sunset.
Oh,
down
wow.
Sunset and Alvarado.
Wow.
$1.50 each way and get your burrito.
That's not bad. I'll definitely do it next time.
Not bad at all.
What about you, Josh?
Mexican food, man. I don't know the name of it. I wish I did. My friend would beat me up for not knowing.
Or how about like another bar or a beach?
Yeah, man. This is my go-to, and I'm happy to do a shout-out, too, because he's the coolest guy. Eduardo Castillo opened Pattern Bar a few years ago now.
Wow.
And this is, there's a little point where Spring and Main meet in South Downtown. If you look at a map, comes to this little point. And he's right on the corner there. And it's like tapas-style food and then really nice cocktails. I like this one that's like really spicy. It's like tequila and like a bunch of jalapenos
really?
Mashed up. It's really cool. And all the drinks are named after fashion designers. And so being called Pattern Bar was a super, I mean, his smart idea in that he threw it right in the middle of the fashion district where all those people are getting off work and want somewhere to meet and congregate and hang out. And then to boot, he plays this incredible deep house music where he brings in people from all over the world playing like this house music that's infused with jazz and like just all these like really creative sounds. And so I love going there and listening to music, but the food's killer as well.
Very well done. Well, the fashion district, that's like what, Los Angeles and...
Oh, the street.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know specifically like what is defined as the fashion district, but I know that he's smack dab in the middle of it at Spring and Main right
awesome.
There.
Awesome. Let's give the address for Downtown Playground.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Go ahead. 1720 East 14th Street.
Yeah.
And Facebook or website, Twitter?
Yeah, so it's real simple. We actually, we're laughing. We got really lucky the day that we like set all that up. We got every name that we wanted. So it's facebook.com/thedowntownplayground.
Cool.
Our Instagram is @thedowntownplayground. And site coming soon. But Vimeo is Vimeo/thedowntownplayground.
And our email?
Set.
Oh, and the email, thedowntownplayground.
For those
Gmail.
That want to contact us.
Thedowntownplayground?
@gmail.
Perfect.
That's it, man.
Well, Ricardo and Josh, thank you for being a part of the 125th episode of Los Angeles Nista. It was a downtown episode highlighting the Downtown Playground. Thank you very much.
And thank you for having us.
Cool. Yeah.